Now to that trite but increasingly true little saying, you are what you eat. There's a gobsmacking statistic about DNA. Only 1% of the DNA in our bodies is human. Give you the shivers? Are we aliens in disguise? Well, in fact we are. The other 99% of our genetic material wriggles around inside us and belongs to other living organisms. Increasingly it's going by the name of microbiome, the squillions of bacteria that live in our skin, in our noses and bowels, and which we actually rely upon for survival. They affect our risk of cancer and heart disease, and research in Melbourne is finding effects of the microbiome on our immune system and possibly our vulnerability or resistance to conditions like asthma and diabetes. And it turns out that what we eat, and I'm not just talking about yogurt here, can make a big difference to these microbes. Professor Charles Mackay is Director of Immunology and Inflammation at Monash University.
It's now apparent that the type of foods we eat, like fibre or fat, can affect the composition of the microbes that inhabit our gut. And this in turn can affect our immune system. We think that the Western diet, which is higher in fat and lower in fiber, is affecting the makeup of the microbes in our gut.
To what extent?
There was a very interesting study which compared the microbes in the gut of children from a European country to that of an African country. This study found that these microbes were completely different. The types of microbes in the African cohort were very good at breaking down fiber.
Essentially fit for purpose. The gut had to cope with what was being put in through the mouth.
Yes, whereas in the Italian population, the microbes there were dealing with the diet of the Italian children.
That's not necessarily bad, given that people who eat a Mediterranean diet live 6 years longer than people like you and me who don't.
Yes, we have ideas why the Mediterranean diet might be working. I'll come back to that in a minute. But different communities around the world, from Asian communities to Africa to Europe to the United States and Australia, we all have slightly different and sometimes dramatically different makeup of microbes in our intestine. And we believe that these microbes have an incredibly important role in affecting things like immunity, inflammatory diseases, and even cancer and other conditions.
We've talked on the Health Report before about the hygiene theory and how countries which are poorer and may have less hygiene have less asthma than we do, and there's a debate about whether in fact that's real or not.
Yes, one thing is for certain, that something in Western lifestyle is leading to things like asthma and even autoimmune diseases like rheumatoid arthritis, inflammatory bowel disease, type 1 diabetes. There's something about our lifestyle. And up until recently, the hygiene hypothesis was the prevailing theory. I don't believe in it at all.
This is the theory where we're born with an immune system that's evolved to deal with parasites, and if we don't train that up properly in the first year of life, it turns out to misbehave in the form of allergy.
Yes, or somehow we're just not getting the right types of immune stimulation and our immune system is somehow going awry.
There's a few theories running around here. I mean, you're talking about type 1 diabetes because what argues here is the further away you get from the equator, the higher the type 1 diabetes rate, and it happens for multiple sclerosis as well.
Yeah.
But the vitamin D lobby say it's all to do with vitamin D.
Yes, I think there's a high degree of truth to that. I think we're looking at different layers that are all contributing. The association of diet with inflammatory diseases is very strong. Much, much better, I believe, than association with cleanliness. Two good examples. One is in North America, you do have communities who grew up in poverty, yet they have high incidences of asthma and other autoimmune diseases. Yet Japan has a much lower incidence of, say, asthma than Australia or North America. And I think what really, really correlates well is instead diet, because often the poorer communities buy the cheapest food, which is the worst for us, and that is what is really correlating. Whereas in Japan, for instance, or other Asian communities, they have a diet rich in rice and other fiber. And I think this is what's contributing to their lower incidence of inflammatory diseases.
And the vitamin D story?
It is another pathway that is affecting inflammatory responses.
So it's not one or the other, it can be working
absolutely.
Together.
Absolutely, I think they're working together.
So tell me about your research and what you've found that supports this idea.
What we lacked was the molecular pathways. How could something in the diet affect our immune responses and lead to asthma or lead to inflammatory bowel disease or type 1 diabetes? And so we've discovered some molecules that have this very strong anti-inflammatory effect. And this is derived from fiber that gets broken down by bacteria in the gut. It's called a short-chain fatty acid. And we've identified that when this binds to a receptor on immune cells, you get this very, very powerful anti-inflammatory effect.
So the process is you chew on fiber, you swallow it, it gets broken down by these bugs in the bowel, and it produces these short-chain fatty acids which are absorbed by the bloodstream and then have an effect on the immune system.
Exactly. And there's evidence for other mechanisms to do with diet, particularly good diet, having this effect on the gut that we think keeps a lid on inflammatory responses, particularly asthma, but even type 1 diabetes, inflammatory bowel disease, also very much associated with Western lifestyle. This whole field is just in its infancy. The understanding of the microbes that are in our gut, what they produce, how those products affect immune cells, how those products also affect the gut physiology. It's this breaking new field in medical research.
So are you looking at it from a preventive point of view that the gut in early life, if it's got a healthy bacterial load, the immune system is in good shape for the rest of your life, or a therapeutic intervention where you've got one of these problems and if you change your diet, you're going to be helped, which in fact has already been studied. People have tried diet and rheumatoid arthritis and it might have a little bit of an effect, but not a huge effect.
Yes, there's a bit of both. I think if as a child you were brought up on a good diet and you have a good composition of microbes in your gut, that you're off to a good start and you're less likely later in life to get autoimmune diseases or asthma.
That's, if the theory is right.
Yes, that's the theory, and I think there's a lot of evidence for that. Now, the question is, could, in fact, someone who comes down with asthma or type 1 diabetes benefit from a therapy such as changing your microbes or changing your diet? And that is unproven and is a very active area of research. Many groups around the world now are initiating clinical trials either with probiotics or with prebiotics, which is a foodstuff that is meant to be good for you. And a probiotic is good bacteria that colonize your gut.
So people listening to this will have bought their lactobacillus in the chemist shop or their live yogurt. When you actually have somebody who's eating a reasonably high fiber diet that's low fat or low in saturated fat, are they hatching with lactobacillus or is it different kinds of organisms?
I mean, there's many, many types of bacteria in our gut that you would consider to be probiotic. Lactobacillus is one, and there's bifidobacteria and many others. And in fact, this is a very active area of research where we're trying to discover new probiotics.
So the things that are in the chemist shop at the moment are pretty primitive in terms of thinking what is the right makeup in the bowel.
It could be.
So you're somebody who's had the classic bad diet, high fat, high saturated fat, low fiber, not very many vegetables or fruits, and you change your diet. How quickly does your microbiome change to meet that?
Amazingly quickly. Even after 1 week, you can see changes in the composition of the bacteria when you suddenly change from a high-fat diet to, a high-fiber diet.
And is this just bugs that already exist in your bowel that get an evolutionary advantage, or somehow you're chomping these bacteria with your food?
There will be populations of bacteria that expand with a different diet. That's probably the best explanation.
And you're going to talk about the Mediterranean diet.
Yes. What is it about the Mediterranean diet that could be so good that leads to longer life, lower incidence of certain diseases like cancer and even inflammatory diseases? And probably it's a combination of things. There could be a higher intake of good food, like higher fiber foods, or we think it could be short-chain fatty acids, acetate or acetic acid, vinegar. And there's much more vinegar consumed in the Mediterranean than in other countries.
And is there any evidence that vinegar has an anti-inflammatory effect in its own right?
Oh, yes. Vinegar goes back to ancient times as being beneficial for health. But there haven't been many controlled clinical trials with vinegar or short-chain fatty acids.
And where next for your research now that you've identified some of these molecules?
We would really like to establish that short-chain fatty acids are binding to this receptor that we've identified, which we show, at least in the test tube and even in the mouse, to be a very powerful anti-inflammatory. We'd love to translate that for use in humans.
Professor Charles Mackay is Director of Immunology and Inflammation at Monash University.